As we heard last week, Luke wants to tell us everything that happened in order. And he's doing that so that we understand it clearly, so that we have a clear picture of everything that went down. But the ascension of Jesus, Christians, is important not just because it's the first thing that happens in the book of Acts. The ascension of Jesus is the foundation of the entire book. And knowing the ascension means that we can understand everything else that happens in the book. Why the disciples do what they do, why they say what they say, and why they are able to face all things. The ascension is key for understanding this whole book of Acts. Because after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples over a period of about 40 days. But he wasn't with them during that entire time as if he was with them for 40 days in a row. No, he would appear to them, and then a few days later, he would appear to them again. We see an example of this in the Gospel of John. Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of Easter, but he doesn't appear to them again until the following Sunday when Thomas is with them. During that whole week, they never saw Jesus at all. And that's the way it was throughout the entire 40-day period. But when Jesus was with them, he taught them about the coming kingdom of God. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And on one of the last times that Jesus was with them, although Luke does not tell us which one, he gave to them very specific instructions about what they were to do. We hear starting in verse 4, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.' For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, the disciples already knew that Jesus was going to go away like this. After all, he had told them, even before his death, that he was going back to the Father. So by telling them this, he was preparing them for what was to come. He was letting them know that it was going to happen soon, and this is what they were supposed to do. But he also was showing them that his going away was not the end. The promised Holy Spirit, which they knew was also coming, would not come right away. After not many days, he says, the promise will come to pass. All they need to do is wait. Now, I don't want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, what it is and what it means, until we get to Acts chapter 2 and we talk about Pentecost. But note what Jesus says here to his disciples. He does not say a whole lot about what's going to happen to him. He doesn't say, "I'm going to go up on this day, for example, and this is what's going to happen on that day, and here's all the things that I'm going to do." He doesn't talk about himself much at all. Instead, what he focuses on is what they are to do. "Stay in the city," he says, "just as I have told you, and wait." That's what they need to know. But of course, we probably want that to be the other way around, don't we? We want the details. We want Jesus to tell us all the specific things about what's going to happen. All that other stuff can wait. We'll get to that later. But tell us what we want to know, Jesus. Tell us when it's going to happen. Tell us how it's going to happen. We want to know all these specific things. If we had the details, we think we would be ready for the promise of the Father. Just tell us what's going to happen. But Jesus doesn't do that. He knows better than we do how to prepare us for what is to come. And so he says to his disciples, "Wait in the city, trust what I'm telling you. The promise will come. All you need to do is be patient and wait." But of course, we all know how hard it can be to be patient. We don't like to wait. And the disciples were really no different. They still wanted to know. And so the last time that they saw Jesus, they asked him a simple question. Verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, what do they mean by that? What do they mean by restoring the kingdom? Well, in that time, a lot of Jews believed that when the kingdom of God would come, it would happen immediately, that it would all come at once. The Messiah would come, the promised king would appear out of nowhere, and everything would be fixed right away. He'd sit on his throne, the kingdom would be reestablished, their enemies would all be defeated, and so forth. There would be no delay. We get little hints of this throughout the Gospels. In John chapter 6, for example, the crowd wants to make Jesus into a king, to bring about that kingdom right away. And also in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world, even though Pilate can only think in terms of a worldly kingdom. And towards the end of the Gospel of Luke, the disciples on the way to Emmaus are sad because they thought that Jesus would be the one to redeem Israel. This idea that the kingdom would come immediately was a very common one in those days. And it is possible that the disciples were thinking this way when they asked this question. I mean, there's lots of times before Pentecost where the disciples are slow and they don't understand what Jesus means. Maybe that's happening here too. But I think it's equally possible, and even maybe a little bit more likely, that they do understand at least a little bit more. After all, Jesus has been teaching them about the kingdom for 40 days. Certainly they've learned something during that time. And they also know that Jesus is the one that will bring the kingdom about. That's doing better already than most people in that time. And so they want to know what is going to happen. Because there is one thing about this that they cannot shake. This belief that the kingdom was going to come immediately. Tell us when, Jesus. Let us know when it's going to happen. When will you restore the kingdom to Israel? But listen to how Jesus answers. Verse 7. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Jesus is not mad with them. He does not rebuke them. There were plenty of times in the Gospels where the disciples asked a dumb question and Jesus rebukes them for it. But this is not one of them. Rather, he says, it's not for you to know. You don't need to know when the Father is going to do this. You think having those specific details, having that specific information will prepare you for what is to come. You think that knowledge is all that you need. But it's not what you need. All you need to know is that the Father is going to do it, and it will come in his good time. Now, on the one hand, this was shocking to them, because Jesus was telling them that, no, the kingdom is not going to come right away. There's going to be a delay. And 2,000 years later, Christians, we are still waiting for the final coming of the kingdom. There's been a very long delay indeed. But Jesus is also not saying, well, I'll just tell you later, as if he's saying, I don't want to tell you right now, but later on I will tell you. No, he says to us, it is not for us to know until it happens. All that we need to know is that the kingdom will come. Anything more specific than that is known only to God. But why does Jesus say this? Why does he not give us that specific information? Because Christians' knowledge is not what we need. Because let's say, for example, that Jesus did tell them. Let's say he gave them some very specific information. Let's say that he told them exactly the day that he was going to go up into heaven. And if we look back into history, we can pretty reasonably guess that the day that Jesus went up into heaven was May 14th, 33 AD. That's a pretty reasonable guess. And so what if Jesus had told them that? What if he said, I'm going back to the Father on May 14th? What would they do with that information? Let's ask it a little bit differently. What do most people do when they know when something is going to happen in the future? They say, why do I need to worry about it? I'll think about it later. I will worry about it when the time gets closer. Until then, I'm not even going to think about it. That time will come, and then I will do something about it. Knowing specifics, Christians, tends to make us lazy, or at least to put things off until the bitter end. If we knew, for example, that Jesus was going to come back without any doubt next Friday, how many people would wait until Thursday to repent? That's just the way that we are. And knowing specifics also makes us less trusting in God, Christians. Not because we disbelieve him, but because we become so focused on the date that we lose sight of God. And because of that, we no longer live as the Christians that we are called to be. Specific knowledge is not what we need. What we need is power. This is why Jesus says in verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Jesus promises them the power of the Holy Spirit. He promises them that they will be filled with God himself. They will be strengthened for the work that he has called them to carry out. And they will become the witnesses to the world that he wants them to be. The power of the Spirit is what they need. And let's use the apostles themselves as a good example of this, Christians. Think of the way the apostles were before the coming of the Spirit. Think of the apostles in the Gospels. Most of the time when we meet them, they're either confused about what Jesus is saying, or they're afraid. I mean, Peter, out of fear, denies Jesus 3 times. And even after the resurrection of Jesus, they're hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews. Before the coming of the Spirit, the apostles are afraid. But after the coming of the Spirit, they are bold. They are no longer afraid. They are willing to suffer for Jesus. They're willing to be thrown into prison for Jesus. They are willing even to die for Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit changes them, makes them into the witnesses that they are called to be. So even without knowing the specifics of what is going to happen, Jesus gives them the best thing of all. They look to God, and they know that he is going to act. They know that he is going to do what he says, and they will receive the promised power of the Holy Spirit in God's good time. So the point then is clear. Jesus prepares them for what is to come. He promises them that it's going to happen. He promises that the kingdom will be restored and all things will be made right. And he strengthens them and us to wait for the coming of that kingdom on the last day. And he calls us to carry out the work that he has given to do. But Jesus also knows our weakness, Christians. He knows how we struggle with these things. He knows that we need something to hold on to. And so that is one reason why he goes up into heaven. By that great sign, he shows us that he is true to his word. Jesus ascends into heaven to sit down in power at the right hand of God so that we know that he will give us the power that we need to carry out his work. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father to give us confidence. Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father so that we can trust in him and know that he will give us the promised Spirit. We can trust him above all things because he is king over all. And this is why the angels who appear to the disciples say to them, verse 11, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Why are you staring up into the sky, worried about what is to come? Jesus is going to come back exactly the same way that you saw him go. He will come down from heaven in power and great glory. And even if we don't know when that's going to happen, that's okay, because Jesus is with us always. So we can keep our eyes fixed on the task at hand and know that our labor is not in vain. This is why the ascension is so important, Christians, for Acts and for us, because through it we can see why we do all of these things. Jesus goes up so that we can trust him, knowing that our Master reigns as king forever. And the disciples in the book of Acts can be bold for him, knowing that he has been glorified in this way. And even if we must wait for him, we can be confident. We can keep our eyes fixed forward, knowing that Jesus sends us the Spirit to give us the power that we need to do his work. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who has ascended far above the heavens to fill all things, strengthen your church here on earth to wait for your coming with patience and to boldly carry out the work which you have called us to do. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.